Well, welcome everyone to another Thriving Thursday. I'm Tony Balestrieri from Roaring Lion Publishing, and it's been quite a while since I've had one of these calls, and I'm extremely excited to top them off with Blair Styra from New Zealand, and he's the channel for the illustrious Tabash, and we're going to have a fantastic time tonight. And Blair, how are you tonight?
Oh, well, it's been a bit cold here. We've had some big southerly blasts down here in the southern hemisphere. But we've got 1 week left of winter, so we're kicking into spring. So what a great way to spring off spring by talking to you.
I'm delighted that all of you have joined us tonight, and you're in for a real treat. You know, Blair, we were talking about earlier how really anybody can channel, and people do actually channel all the time, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it from the point of vibration, of a frequency, of energy, if you look at it live from our God nature, obviously we have access to absolutely everything. So all the channels are available to us, basically. So every day of our lives, we're gathering information from everything. And so it's actually really important to be able to focus the frequency in the way that you actually want to use it, where it's, you know, using a vibration that trains you at the gym to going to the supermarket to, you know, the day at work or the day at home or whatever it is. You know, we're just gathering quite subconsciously all these vibrations all the time, and it's just a matter of how we choose to organize them.
Beautifully said. I know I definitely get in an altered state when I start to do my music, and too, when I'm working out and things like that. And you can just feel, and I realize now, getting to know you, because you're the first person I've ever met who channels. How long have you been channeling?
I have been channeling Tabash publicly for almost 25 years now.
Goodness.
I've been channeling probably for about 27 years, because previous to Tabash coming on the scene, I was channeling other spirits, but I wasn't public with that. It was, I suppose we shall call it, my training ground, my apprenticeship time, where I was allowing my body to get used to working with this divine energy, therefore being able to unfold the divine plan in regards to the work that I'm doing at this particular time.
It's called a full body channel, right? I mean, he actually got up and hugged us all, and he was quite animated the whole time.
Actually, can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yes, please.
I remember some years ago, I was channeling at a meeting in Wellington, and this woman, she wasn't of the idea that you couldn't go up to a channel while they're channeling spirit and touch them, because something terrible was going to happen to them. And of course, Tabash comes through, and what's the first thing he does is that he must have picked up on that, so he goes up to this woman and gives her a big hug. She just about fainted.
Well, it never surprises me how frickin' funny he is, and his sense of humor, like yours, is quite timely, as spirit would have it. You know, it's the most amazing spiritual humor I've ever encountered, and I've noticed it's a trait in a lot of really good channels. The humor comes through, and you really know, like Tabash says, just lighten up. You know, it's really a big part of our spirituality. I love that about both of you.
Thank you. It's interesting because, you know, over the years of doing this, you know, you get to observe people, you know, quite strongly and closely, particularly over years of knowing specific people. And, you know, some people take this whole self-development so absolutely serious. You know, it's like some sort of master degree that they have to attain. And they do forget to lighten up. They do forget that, you know, it's really just about light. It really is about light. And the lighter we approach it, then obviously there are times when we have to concentrate and be a bit more serious. But, you know, the majority of the time, it is just live in life and live with light, basically.
Beautiful.
Let's all well,
I know our friends are excited to meet Tabash.
If it's just explained quickly to the listeners,
yes.
just the process I'm about to go through. So, you know, obviously we're all vibrations and frequencies, so I've just got this uncanny ability to just shift onto another station, so to speak. So when I channel spirit, I just go through a little process in my thoughts that spirit gave me some years ago, and that's a secret. So no one, people have often said,
I've been trying to get it out of you.
Yeah, exactly. So basically what happens is that allows me, as my consciousness, to shift away from the frequency that is Blair, and I simply expand my thought processes, my vibration, out onto another aspect of myself, which is able to access spirit. So I go into spirit while Tavash is actually channeling through me. And so I tend to not have conscious memory of what's being said. The connection, it's always there, obviously, so the transition from Blair to spirit and Tavash coming in is fairly instantaneous. Obviously, after all these years, my cellular structures got used to working with that vibration. So it'll only take probably about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, basically. So what I'm going to do now is I just sit back here in my very comfortable chair. I close my eyes. I give myself that little thought process that flicks a switch within me that allows me to expand, and then Tavash starts coming through. And he'll be there, and he'll start talking. So you all have a fantastic time with him, and I will talk to you after he finishes. So I'll see you later on. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Tavash. So good to see you and hear you.
Thank you. I was just thinking that in that little gap time between Blair's going and I'm coming in, you should have some mood music going on. It's a bit like, you know, you get into the elevator and you're going up.
So I almost started singing, but I thought a cappella wouldn't be too good.
And it depends on how warm the vocal throat is.
That's true.
It's interesting, you know, when I look at what's going on in humanity at this particular point, what everybody is doing is that they're now developing an even more unique relationship with their God nature. And of course, as you develop that relationship, you're also amplifying your own relationship that you have with your soul. So the soul and your body, of course, has a unique relationship. And it's that unique relationship that allows you to establish greater insights into source power. And so everybody who's involved in the way that they're developing at this particular point in their lives, it's so important to look at the way you're awakening, not just to source power, to God, but awakening to your own soul and what your soul is actually giving to your body through the whole process of your development. And so for those listeners who've been involved in their development for some time, then, you know, you realize that what you're doing is that you're departing from the old vibrations, you're departing from the old ways of thinking and feeling and experiencing life. And as you depart from that, then it's like you've arrived in a whole different way of thinking and feeling and being and experiencing life. And that's why when you develop a close relationship with your body, with your mind, with your spirit, it allows you to develop that greater relationship with God. And if you don't have a good relationship with your mind and your body and your spirit, God's always there. But what happens is that you set up your journey as more of a struggle rather than something that should just be an easy flow. And so, you know, a lot of human nature, I feel through my observations over the years, it's more like they reach out to gather the tools and think that, well, by gathering those tools, that's going to make a difference. But as people have discovered, there's always something that triggers something off within themselves, a life-changing event, a person in their lives, something they've read, something they've experienced, which has allowed them to suddenly look at their own way of how they're functioning within themselves. So if you think of your mind and you think of your body and you think of your spirit as a functioning team, well, then you realize that that team already knows what it needs to do. And so when you allow yourself to be peaceful with who you are, then what you do is that you let the natural rhythm of that team come together, and it starts speaking to you. It starts turning on lights for you. And then as those lights are turned on, then what happens is that you realize that everything about you already knows the oneness of collective energy and the oneness of the connection with God. And then what happens is that you get directed to specific experiences that are going to amplify what your needs are. And then obviously you have your free will to decide how you're going to manage that vibration, what way you believe you have to direct yourself at this point, as opposed to waiting for some outside source to direct you. Instead, you're allowing yourself in your own higher nature to direct yourself. And in that direction, you embrace all of that higher light vibration, basically. And so remember, your desire in your lifetime is first and foremost to serve yourself. And in your service to yourself, then that's where you allow yourself to expand your consciousness so that you can step away from, let's just call it, the messiness of day-to-day life. And so things start to put themselves into a sort of a natural order, basically, see. And so it's interesting because I've always think that when you look at the soul is the convenient part of you. And so it's that part of you that just absolutely knows the link with everything. And, of course, what happens is that in human nature, you get so involved in thoughts and experiences and patterns that suddenly becomes inconvenient to you. So when those inconveniences build up, you have to make a paradigm shift in every way of your life to return back to that oneness. And so getting back to what I was just saying before, when you have that unique relationship with your mind and your body and your spirit, then it becomes so simple to actually stay aligned to that oneness. And so you're able to establish, we'll call it, different ways of living as opposed to better ways of living. I tend to not like to look at life like it's that's the better way and that's the worst way. Rather, look at it like, well, that's just a different way. Or as I've always said, well, I was just God doing it that way. And now I'm God doing it differently. And so, you know, for all of you in your awakening, then it's important to allow your heart to overflow with yourself and with that sense of respect for yourself. And this is a time to pour light completely into your whole being. And so, you know, obviously through history, human nature has been involved in this self-development. But now it's different because things are expanding, things are evolving. And that's why it's so imperative for people to really define the way that they're relating to themselves and therefore the way that that reflects itself and the people that are in their lives in the way that they are involving themselves in life. Because as you all know, you're all actually having a relationship with life. But what is your relationship with life? What sort of relationship are you actually having? And so it's good to, you know, consider that if you look at your lives just at this particular point. You know, is it the ultimate relationship? You know, humans often talk about, you know, what's my soulmate? You know, who is my soulmate? When am I going to meet up with my soulmate? Well, I'm going to say to you all that you are your own soulmate. And so it's about that first. So when you realize that it's not another soul, it's actually you. You are your soulmate. And your soulmate that you seek for is the part of you that knows it's God. And then, of course, what will happen is that will simply reflect itself in your connections with other people. Because as you return into what I shall call as a more authentic part of your life, then you're going to bring about authentic people in your life who reflect, you know, that whole consciousness. So, you know, people often say to me, oh, Tomas, is there someone out there for me? And I always like to go, yes, you. I don't know if I'm disappointed. So, you know, that's not exactly the answer that they were wanting. Listen, if you actually realize that you're the one you're looking for, well, then it makes sense to think that, you know, you're going to start putting out a vibration that, you know, brings to you people that you want in your life, and that invariably will become an intimate relationship with someone, or great friendships, or whatever the case is, so to speak. So you're all thirsty for more, and you're hungry for more. So what do you do when you're thirsty? You drink. And what do you do when you're hungry? You eat. And so it's this big banquet of life that is being presented to humanity at this particular point. I think it's so exciting. Don't you? Don't you, Tony? Don't you think that, you know, this whole new concept of life that's being presented is so thrilling and so exuberating in every way possible?
I do. It's really interesting to me how intense things seem to be getting, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean it seems like things are amplified. Am I right about that, Tabash?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, if you look through history, and if you look through your own personal lives even, you got to remember that then when you're heralding in change and you're about to make major transitions into your life in every way possible, then there is a huge acceleration of everything, of vibration. And the reason that is because, first and foremost, it's there to show you the power and to show you that there's so much available to you. And then, obviously, in human nature terms, people look around at all the madness that's actually going on around. And in the way humans think, they have a propensity to think on the traumas and the conflicts and the tragedies of life, as opposed to realizing, oh, hang on a minute, what this is doing is this is actually a big shake-up. And everything is being shaken up. And as it shakes itself up, when you look at what we'll call the unrest that goes on around, whether it's individual unrest or a world conflict, you've got to realize that it is actually a way of indicating to human beings collectively what's been created by past thoughts and past actions and past belief systems. And okay, more and more human beings are moving away from the energy of despair. And moving more into a lighter energy. So of course, you know, you're all participating in this upheaval, as we'll call it, but the upheaval doesn't have to be looked upon as a bad thing. So things get amplified because it gives you a more conscious opportunity to look at what needs to be changed. You know, in the past, you know, how so much was just hidden away or not being presented to people, and so people were sort of living in their little bubble in a way, without their levels of awakening. And so now, of course, people have awakened more to themselves, and they're less prepared to be pushed aside, you know, by the regimes and by the powers that be. So people are questioning more and making a stand more and basically starting to say, well, no, we don't want it this way anymore. And you know, people realize that you have a voice. And when you know that you have a voice, I'm not just talking about the words that you talk about. I'm talking about your whole vibration is consciousness, which as you think and as you experience life on a higher level, you're making a huge difference to the changes that come about. I mean, it's interesting to note, isn't it, that when you look at through world history, it's obviously collective consciousness, both consciously and unconsciously, that creates everything that happens on the planet. I know some people are going to find that a bit difficult to think that, you know, collectively everybody created World War One and World War Two and the Iraqi War and all that sort of stuff. And I would say, yes, absolutely, because a certain way of thinking establishes, you know, those types of situations. So if you can collectively create conflict, then you can also collectively create peace. But I find it interesting that people think that they've got to sort conflict out before they can have peace. And so it's not about, you know, appeasing. It's actually more a matter of, right, well, you know, let's focus on all the positives. Let's focus on the greatness. Let's focus on the goodness. Let's focus on all the things that make people feel great and grand. Let's harvest moments of great joy and happiness and balance. And it starts off, once again, by that relationship that everyone actually has with themselves. But so many people, they get into a discontent. But they think, oh, I'm too tired to do that today. So I'll have those moments of joy tomorrow. Hopefully I'll feel better. And so it's like putting it off as opposed to, right, now hang on a minute, what's a simple thing that I can think now, feel now, be now, do now that's actually going to make a difference to myself? And so the moment you do that, you start acting out life vibrationally in a complete different way. And you know, the more people do that in a conscious way and in a collective way, well, then the more you're just going to keep building that vibration up. And okay, inevitably, you know, it does get to the point where you see, you know, big events that can actually happen. And I'm just going to cite one example, actually, and which was when Prince William and Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge, got married, and in England. And so billions of people watched that, and it made people feel happy. It made people feel a collective consciousness of joy. And so that event, you know, when you think about a percentage of the population, a huge percentage of the population was actually watching that. So at that time, a huge percentage of the population was feeling good and feeling happy and joyful. So that actually shifted consciousness, you see. And I just think, you know, when you create things like that, then you think, well, what more can we do? And okay, it doesn't mean that you have to wait for the next royal wedding. But it's about in your own family or in your own thoughts or in your own community. You know, what can you participate in? What can you arrange? Which can you be a part of? And you know, one of the things I feel really sad about is that there's still people who, when they think about all this self-development stuff and they think about, you know, the rah-rahs and the happy people, you know, they look upon it in a disdainful way. They think, oh, that's not very cool, you know, and it's like being happy and being in harmony and all that. It seems that's not very cool, you know, and so what do you have to do? Do you have to be negative? Do you have to have a part of negativity into your life to maintain a sense of cool? I think it's really cool to be God, actually. And I think it's really cool and an absolute amazing vibration. You know, it's really hip or whatever word you want to use, you know, to be enlightened. You know, I mean, you've got to go around wearing all the T-shirts and stuff. But
I love it.
It's just weird to us as birds when people won't embrace that higher idea of themselves because they think that, oh, people are going to think I'm weird or people are going to think I'm, you know, I'm not cool. I'm going to lose some sense of my identity. And, you know, that tells you an awful lot about the way they would think. And so, you know, being God, you know, doesn't mean that you have to stop wearing your black leather jeans and having tattoos. You know, you can portray yourself in whatever way that you actually choose to. And so, again, it's that whole idea about your relationship with your God nature, but also the different relationships within your whole self, basically. See, I mean, think about there's lots of phrases and things like that. I'm just going to quote a 14th century mystic called Meister Eckhart. And he said, the whole world is my soul. And so when you think about that, you know, the whole world is your soul. And for those of you who are listening right now, and if you're with people right now, look at that person and think, well, that person is my soul. And the environment that I'm living in, that's my soul. And you know, everything is your soul. The whole world is your soul. The whole consciousness is your soul. Now, isn't that remarkable? Isn't that vast?
Truly.
You know, when you think about it from that point, then you're looking around and you're seeing what you're accessing all the time. And so obviously sometimes the world is going to speak to you about what your soul needs. And when it does, that's why you suddenly have an appreciation of somebody. Or you have an appreciation of a beautiful walk that you go on. Or something inspires you because the world is speaking to you. In other words, your soul is actually speaking to you. And also, too, your soul is always trying to get your attention when you think about it from that point. And so when you see it from that bigger picture, you're talking to yourself all the time. And yourself is talking back to you by what you feel and what you think and how you respond. And if you don't like what you're hearing, well, then you realize, oh, I'm tuned into something here that's obviously counterproductive to me. Or I'm allowing myself to be distracted by vibrations that I know, you know, don't link in with me, or I'm not seeing the whole world as my soul. And so when you see that point of expansiveness, then you trigger off what I'll call that divine spark which is encoded within you, and from the very beginning of time, basically. And you switch all that light, and then that's when body, mind, and spirit become more as one. And then there's nothing to be found anymore, because the discovery has been made. So one of the things I would like to say to people is stop looking, because you already are what you're looking for. And stand still and just be peaceful with that. Find your natural rhythm. Allow yourself to look at the possibilities from that particular point. And then an important question to ask yourself is, from this point, what's the simplest thing I could do with this at this particular point? And then your own higher nature will tell you. And it might say something to you like, well, have a glass of lemonade and sit on the porch and watch the neighbors mow their lawn. And that might sound like a nothing thing to some people. It's like, what? But it's like, I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to be a part of the world. And I'm going to smell the mown grass, and I'm going to laugh at my neighbor as he trips up. And I'm just going to participate, basically. I don't have to make everything some sort of fulfilling big deal all of the time. And I think that by doing that, it puts a lot of pressure on people. I think it creates a high level of unrest, you know, as we were saying before, Leah was saying before, about the way people treat this as a sense of seriousness.
Yes.
And yeah, you've got to pay attention when you need to. But I don't think it's necessary to be enlightened through unrest or be enlightened through putting pressure on yourself and trying to, you know, work things out before you feel that you're able to have more. And so, you know, this is an interesting time, because you're replacing so much of your old patterns and belief systems with new ones. And you know, don't expect those to come to you as some sort of big revelation and fires in your mind or something. You know, it's quite a simple vibration that just flows into your thoughts, flows into your feelings, flows into your life itself. And if you're aligned, then you realize that it's so easy to recognize when these things are being presented to you. And so, you know, as you are at this point in your life, then don't get preoccupied by what you think you have to become. Be occupied in who you are right now, and the way you think and the way you feel and the way that you are right now. And then as you are occupied with that, then obviously you're going to be able to pinpoint any areas of your life that you do need to make some changes with. But even when you find those, then once again, ask yourself, what's the simplest way that you can actually, you know, understand that or get into that vibration, basically? How do you feel about that? Okay.
It's just amazing. It always feels so good to talk to you, Tabash. And, you know, it is so simple. Sometimes it seems to creep up on you. You know, those thoughts or all of a sudden, you know, and Blair and I were having this conversation before we had talked earlier today when we talked, you know, we have these days that circumstances do get our attention, you know, with Kay having Alzheimer's and all of that drama that's going on in his life. And of course I have my own, and everyone on this call has their own type of drama going on, you know, anxiousness and things that people are dealing with. And it does seem to creep up on you. You make it sound so beautifully simple, and I know that's the case, Tabash, and I love that about your teaching and how you're sharing that with us.
Can I just interrupt you for a moment? I just think that, you know, when you look about the things that happen in people's lives, whether they're what humans will call negative ones or positive ones, one should look upon all of life's experiences as a great opportunity to understand yourself. Because when you're positioned in a situation, obviously you're going to think things, you're going to feel things, you're going to have a certain response to your circumstances. And so if you look upon it as a tragedy, then you're not really seeing the opportunity, because what you're going to do is you're going to get too involved in the emotion of it. And I'm going to cite something here, which, you know, is on the news at the moment about that journalist in America who was executed overseas. And so there's a big thing about this at this particular point. And again, yes, it's an awful thing to happen. But I mean, also, too, I think about the person himself who, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. So you know, he was in a situation which he himself put himself in there. And you know, and that's on a conscious level as well. And I'm certainly not condoning, you know, the violence and you know, the awful way that he passed. But you still got to remember that from a soul perspective, he knew what he was doing. And in a human nature perspective, I'm going to also say that, you know, he was still calling the shots. He knew what he was walking into. He knew what the possibilities were. And it's a bit like a bit of Russian roulette that people play with themselves sometimes. And I know some people would be horrified to think that that was an opportunity to learn from that. But again, you know, in the bigger picture of it, it's teaching people about what systems are we involved in that these sorts of things have to happen in the world. What's the collective way of thinking that this actually has to happen? What's the government's doing that makes these things have to happen? And so again, you know, you all have to look at scenarios like that, look at your own lives, look at the things that are going on for you, and think, right, well, if I see my marriage breakup as an opportunity, or I see that I've lost my job as an opportunity, or I've lost my money as an opportunity, whatever the case is, then straight away you stand on a different platform, and you're able to embrace a more entire experience. Whereas if you just get caught up into the emotion of the trauma of it or the loss of it, well, then what you're going to do is you're going to weigh yourself down and get distracted from your relationship with something higher in you. And okay, invariably, you know, the more that you find your alignment, then those situations don't actually have to happen. So you begin to change the emotional, physical, mental, spiritual climate of what's actually going on around you. And then you're able to participate in a quickening of your instant connectivity with ideas that work in what I call hyperspeed. And so suddenly you're just attracting and drawing in the most extraordinary advanced ways of thinking and feeling and being and living and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, just getting back to what you were just saying before about Blaise Lacay and her Alzheimer's. You know, he's always seen it as a great gift that's been given to him and a great opportunity for him to understand and to learn. He feels a huge amount of respect for his wife's sole choice in regards to experience that, because it's offering him an opportunity to serve her in a very unconditional way, and therefore by doing that, serving himself in a more unconditional way as well. And you know, people can get caught up into the whole, you know, how bad and how sad it is. Okay, yeah, he has his moments, but it's always about stepping back and going, don't be angry at the Alzheimer's, and don't make the Alzheimer's your enemy. And instead, what you do is that you take whatever it is, whether people have Alzheimer's or cancer, whatever, and think, right, you know, it doesn't have to be my bestie friend. But I've got to have a relationship with that Alzheimer's because it's part of my life at this particular point. Or I have to have a relationship with my depression or my despair or, you know, whatever the case is. And the moment you start developing a relationship with these things in a neutral manner, then this is where you can start reorganizing the energy with it. So therefore, you're able to relate to it in a way where you can actually start informing it and mentoring it and guiding it and directing it in a way where it becomes more balanced and more in harmony. And then, of course, your whole authentic self starts to absorb the benefits of those experiences. And you know, some people will throw their hands up, no doubt, in horror, thinking that they have to create a positive relationship with terminal cancer or something. But it's still your creation, and you've got to be careful that you don't keep replicating things. And you replicate things by not having a good relationship with the way that life is speaking to you at this point.
Interesting. Interesting that that's what creates the relationship by not having a good vibe about it, or it perpetuates, you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a sort of a revolutionary way of thinking, but in order to really heal something, you really first have to actually have a relationship with it, because you want to know what you're working with it, and you know, if you have the knowledge of how to put a combustion energy engine together, then you know you're going to get something that's going to work for you. But when you don't, it's just going to be a whole lot of pieces of something that you have no idea how they're going to work. So it's I mean, think about it. When you have a good relationship with something, what you're doing is that you're able to have knowledge about how this can actually work for you. And then you get this part of you that realizes that you have a vision of how you can pull all this together. And, you know, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of people, obviously, who dealt with cancers and illnesses and things. And, you know, the survivors of them, you know, all of them have said, I'm glad I went through that because it changed me. It gave me a different view of who I was. And then from that different view I created, then it showed me where I could go from there in a whole different way. And you know, that's a wonderful thing about integrating the mind and the body and the spirit, is that it shows you everything. And then you're able to decide from that point, you know, what you believe is the best direction that you actually want to take yourself. And when you're in an aligned place, then you would tend to know that without trying to work it out in your head or wondering what the best direction to go. I've never believed in a best direction. And so, you know, things that humans get caught up to is, one day I'm going to be this, or one day in the future, you know, I'm going to be, you know, happy, or one day in the future everything is going to be peaceful on the planet, you see. And why hang out for one day? Why hang out for today? You know, and isn't that a great thing? If every human being on this planet thought every day, today there's no poverty in the world, today there's no more conflict on the planet, today every human being is healthy and focused and clear. I mean, just that, collectively, would just change things. But try to get everyone to do that, it's rocket science, it's far easy.
Wow. You know, lately I've found myself very meditative, and it's been so intoxicating. I find myself really having to say, "Okay, you're done, Tony," and really ground myself again. And it's been obviously a routine, and you know that about me. And I highly, as you do, recommend meditation of some sort for people. Is there something about that, or is it just me at this particular point in my life?
No, I think it's an important discipline that's important for people at this particular point in history, because, you know, you're dealing with this different vibration, this different frequency, and often the best way to align yourself to those vibrations is by allowing yourself to sit yourself down and step away from the world for a moment and allow yourself just to be consciousness. And in that sense, what happens is that you're permitting an integration of all source power. And as you permit that integration, then you're able to receive higher ideas, higher feelings, higher experiences, which are therefore stored up within yourself. And then having stored it up, then you're going to make use of that at whatever valuable time you feel that you need to. But the thing is also is that, again, you know, if the whole world is your soul, then you realize that you are actually consciously doing that and unconsciously doing that. And so there's never a moment where you're not receiving something. But there are certain times where the only way to know what can be possible is to quietly sit yourself down or go for a nice walk where you've stepped away from your regimes, from the people in your day and those sorts of things. And that's where when you can start making the unimaginable more manageable for yourself. And you know, but I think people have to find the ways that suit them. Like for some people, they just can't sit down and do a meditation.
Right.
So that's where you have to look at, well, what makes you feel relaxed when you're doing that? Or what makes you feel that for a moment you're stepping away from you know, the world. And I remember talking to someone, and she said, oh, well, she said, I love walking around shopping malls. I laugh. And she said, it just makes me feel relaxed. And she said, I'm just window shopping and I'm feeling peaceful and I'm watching people. And I find, she says, that when I'm doing that, I suddenly get inspired. My ideas come to me and all those sorts of things like that. So, you know, so sometimes, you know, you can find great inspiration by looking at a shoe store.
That's fantastic. How fun. Well, you know, I'm extremely excited that so many people are on the call, and I so appreciate all of you, and as Tabash does. And one of the things that I wanted to mention to all of you was, and we're going to do what's called Talks with Tabash, and we're going to have a monthly call, a monthly teleseminar program. Every single person who gets on these monthly calls will develop a relationship with Tabash like I have, and they'll be able to ask him questions. And as time goes on, you'll find how Tabash's insight really can help in so many ways, and you can gain a continuity from these monthly calls. Very excited about that, Tabash. And it's going to be every second Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for Blair, but it's Tuesday for us in the U.S., and it's going to be at the same time on Tuesday nights. And we have set up a schedule all the way through to the end of December, and then January we'll make a new schedule for those times, and we'll just continue as it goes. And so I wanted to tell you also that we made a video in Sedona, and that's a $50 value in itself. And if you're married or you have a significant other, you may share the call with that one significant other. And these calls will be recorded, and of course you'll get them on a monthly basis too, in case there's something you missed. And of course it's great fun to go back again and again and again. It's a very exciting thing that we're doing here. So again, it's always so much fun to spend this time with you, Tabash. And
I was just thinking when you were talking about that you know, when you ask questions, make them questions that you know are going to also be interesting to people. So,
yeah.
So you know, don't ask me real estate questions. People often say, oh, Tabash, is my house going to sell? You know, all that sort of thing. So,
yes, of course.
Ask questions that, you know, could be of general interest to people, and you know, that's also going to be stimulating to yourself, obviously, too. And you know, obviously, too, or pick up on any particular thing that I might need to say. And okay, I'm not going to be intrusive, and I'm certainly not on the air going to get too personal. But, you know, it's about, you know, kick open those doors and think about, you know, well, here I am, this soul and this body, and I'm alive at this time on earth. What do I want to know? You know, what can I know that's going to be really useful to how I develop, whether it's how can I be a better father or a better mother, or you know, what's a way that I can participate more in my community? You know, what are my qualities that I possess that, you know, I'm able to, you know, be more fulfilled with? And so, you know, it's, I'm going to say, be daring in your question, be revolutionary in your thoughts. Be outrageous in your thinking, and in all the most positive ways possible, basically.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And, you know, it does seem as though your particular issue is so big. You know, I know that's the case, but as a collective, especially a collective led by you and with you, I'm very excited about what's going to be created, Tabash, because it's a family of a collective mindset that will really kind of cube itself, won't it, in the high vibration.
Yeah, look, you know, what you just said there about family, I mean, it is all about family, whether it's souls in bodies on earth or the greater family in spirit. You've got to remember that this is a time where everyone's linking in. And that's why it's so important that you gather information, not just from me, but from all the resources that are available to you, so that therefore you're being stimulated in every way possible And the more you're stimulated in the highest way, well then, you know, the more you'll be. And this is the time where this is happening. And each of you is actually a creator allowing this to happen. So the very fact that you have taken the time to listen to what we're saying, to have the idea that you wanted to participate in that, you have suddenly changed consciousness. Your vibration is shifting. And as you hear words or you read things that you read, same thing happens. You're allowing yourself to expand your own vibration, and therefore you're making everything your own soul. And that means that you are touching every being on this planet. Even though you might be sitting in your, you know, den in Missouri listening to what we're talking about, it's about realizing that I'm actually making a difference just sitting here in my slippers and my dressing gown, waiting on bed or whatever like that. How can I make a difference to the world? Well, drink your cow cans before you go to bed and you know, just vibrate to the highest frequency that you possibly can. And okay, yes, you know, you will go out and participate in events that you feel that you can make a bigger difference in. But don't force yourself to think you've got to be something or step away from the simplicity of your life and realize that it's right with you right now. So as I have spoken of, you know, you've got to be your authentic self. And your authentic self could just be knowing that you are God, knowing that you are part of this higher consciousness, and going about your day-to-day experience without feeling that you've got to make some big difference on the planet. Make the big difference to yourself. And then once you've done that, then you'll see what your particular brand of magic is. And that could be, you know, training young people into believing in themselves more. Or it could be doing some volunteer work at a hospice. Or it could be, you know, helping your elderly neighbor by doing their shopping for them. But if you attach the idea of your greater authentic self to everything you're doing, you're making the difference. Don't put pressure on yourself in trying to become something that doesn't feel natural for you, or forcing yourself to try to understand something where it just doesn't get you at the moment. So embrace what feels natural to you and what makes you happy and what is easy for you to do. You know, life is not complex. Humans turn life into complexity.
Yes.
But it's not complex. You're not complex either.
Do you feel as though you're growing, Tabash? Are you growing like we're growing?
Of course, everything is. You know, if you look at consciousness itself, you know, every time, you know, a light's turned on, then that light's turned on everywhere else as well. So there's never, you know, people talk about enlightenment when you're out of spirit, you must know everything and all that sort of stuff. But if everything's being expanded upon all the time, there's always more to be, there's always more to think. Whether you're in a physical body or you know, out of a body, there's always going to be more. So never think for a moment that you're ever going to get it, because you can't get something that does that's always growing. You know, so it's best to actually just keep experiencing. And remember that you are creating what you're experiencing, but you're also experiencing what you're creating. And so even God is evolving all the time.
Say that again.
God is forever evolving. God is growing all the time.
Yes, yes. So when you have a eureka moment, quote unquote, isn't that getting it, or is it just on that level at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have your eureka moment, then you've revealed something to yourself that's a benefit to you. So your eureka moment is when, oh, I switched another life on. Oh, yeah, I see that. And so it's like just going into this house and you think there's only six rooms in it, but then every time you turn a light on, you realize there's another room. You know? And it's like, how big is this house? And I would say,
oh, that's beautiful.
Think that you would like it to be.
Yes, that's fantastic to know. I mean, when you first said that, you know, we're never going to get it. And I felt a little twinge of sadness, and then all of a sudden I think I'm understanding what you're saying. It's really relishing those moments where the lights do turn on.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. People put themselves into a situation where they feel they have to get something. And whereas in fact, you know, if you look at it from the point that you're just having experience, which allows you to express and just keep expanding consciousness, well, then isn't that getting it? You know, in other words, there's no definite completion. And when you get into this sense of, you know, right, I'm there, well, that to me is a limited way of thinking, because you then stop your progress and you stop evolving and you stop expanding. And when you realize it just is not like that at all. Evolution is just a constant act of creation all the time. And so when you find a moment that appeals to you, I mean, all of you have experienced things where, you know, you felt, wow, this is a fantastic part of my life. This is really great. You know, can't get better than this. And I would say, well, actually, yes, it can. And yet, you know, people can't conceive that. I remember some years ago, Blair was doing some meditations, and he found this piece of music by Enya called Watermark, I think it was called. And he just loved this piece of music. And he got a friend of his to loop it, so it lasted for about half an hour, because it was only about 3 minutes. Anyway, so he sat there, and he had the most amazing meditation. He saw his higher self. It just was the most amazing feeling. And this went on for about a week. Every day he was upstairs having this meditation. And then after a while it dissipated and dissipated and dissipated. And he got really disappointed. He was listening to the music and he couldn't get the feeling back. And then he said to me, oh, Tomas, what's going on? I must have got something wrong. And I said, no, you got what you needed from that, but there's more. And so he was like, well, you know, well, if there was more than what I experienced, then that's going to be pretty amazing. So, and then I said, yeah, it is. Never think that there's not more.
That's beautiful.
And it's such a great way to, you know, look at all of the everyday life. You know, when you wake up in the morning, today there's more. Today there's everything. How much more of today can I have than what yesterday was? There's more love. There's more harmony. There's more health and well-being. You know, there's more bargains at Walmart. And so it's about realizing there's always going to be more.
Wow. That's just beautiful. Well, this has been so much fun, Tomas. Is there something in closing that you'd like to say to us? I mean, you know, it's funny because there's never-ending questions, but at the same time, whenever I talk to you, I feel so satisfied and just, you know, I find myself digesting your words for weeks on end after we talk, Tomas. So I hope all of you feel that same experience as you go to bed tonight or whatever it is you're going to do, and then through the days and through the weeks. And I'm going to post this video on YouTube tomorrow for all of you to watch again. And you'll be able to hear Tomas. And please feel free to share it, the link to YouTube, with anyone you would like to share it with. And I'll have the phone conversation too, so it'll be an audio download as well. Thank you so much, Tomas.
Yeah, I'd just like to finish with, if you look upon this time of higher consciousness, what it's doing is that it's sweeping away all the old rigid attitudes and ideas and dogmas and creeds and patterns and systems which have regulated humanity into a way where it's contained you. And so, of course, now you're not contained. So now you're being it's all unlocked, basically. And so it's allowing a oneness to manifest, but it's also allowing a light to blossom forth. And yet I keep getting this picture in my mind of some people who, it's like they've been locked up into this room, and then someone's come along and unlocked the door. But they know the door's unlocked, but they're still waiting for something or someone to give them permission to open the door. or someone else to open up the door for them. You know, and it's a bit like, you know, the concept of someone who feels they're trapped inside because they can't open the door, but they realize that they were pushing instead of pulling.
Interesting. And animals do that too. When you cage them and then the cage is gone, they stay in the circle or whatever it is sometimes.
And the reason you do that is because you do have what I call a vibrational scent. So therefore, yeah. So it's not like a scent in here, but it's a vibration, and you allow yourself to be accustomed to. So it's like you mark your territory with your vibration. And so what people do is that if you've stayed in a certain vibration for a long time, then it takes a while to create a different frequency. So you keep going back to the same scent, so to speak, because that's you being familiar with yourself. And then when you become familiar with another part of you, well, then you simply move on. And again, animals do that as well. That's why they go and scent their territory. And so human beings do that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. In an emotional and a vibrational way, basically.
So now it's new. There's a new light, right? There's a new light that we're all experiencing and a new opportunity.
I'm going to say it's not a new light. It's the same light, but it's just brighter.
Wow.
And so nothing ever is new. Everything is always of higher consciousness. But then the energy just gets clearer. And the energy becomes more to your advantage rather than to your disadvantage. So things just get brighter and brighter. But when you can look at the brightness and not be blinded by it, well, then you know that you're resonating to the same vibration you see.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That's all right. My pleasure. It's been a joy, a pleasure to be able to talk to you all. As God... And Spirit, we love you. God loves you. And open up your whole being to allowing the whole world, the whole consciousness to be your soul.